Okay, here we go. We're starting in 2 Timothy this week, and we're going to cover the first chapter of 2 Timothy. I think Oliver finished up 1 Timothy for me last week. I had to work, so I couldn't be here. This week, it's called Be Loyal. What does the word loyal mean to you? When you think of the word loyal, what's the first thing that pops in your mind?
Being faithful, be true.
To whatever?
Yeah. To God, to your friends, to your family.
That's it.
To your pets. I don't have any.
What, anybody else? Nothing popping in this morning, huh?
Pat covered it.
She did, didn't she?
I like this illustration, and I don't know if you read it about it.
No, I didn't.
Dog.
Read it.
Have you ever read it?
I haven't. I don't have one of your books.
In 1924, a Japanese professor in Tokyo found Hachiko, I guess, and took him in as a pet. Each morning, the dog trailed, asked the professor to the train station as he went to work. Each afternoon, the pet returned to the station in time to greet his owner. Then one day in 1925, the professor boarded the morning train as usual, but didn't return in the afternoon. He had died suddenly at his workplace. Unaware of anything different, Hachiko appeared at the train station on schedule, waiting for his owner to appear. And for the next 9 years, that dog went there until his own passing.
Wow.
Went to the station every afternoon and waited for the train.
Yeah,
he died.
Wow. Wow. Oh, that's sad. But it's sweet. But it's loyalty. That is a true definition of loyalty, isn't it? How about that? Mm.
Well, Paul was certainly loyal.
Huh?
Paul was certainly loyal to his teachings.
Yes, he was. To his faith and to his heritage of his faith. The goal for today's lesson is to help us remain loyal to our Christian faith. The next four lessons cover 2 Timothy. This week is going to be about being loyal to our Christian faith. The coming weeks we're going to look at being strong in the Lord's work, seeking the Scripture's guidance, and living persistently as Christians in a hostile world. And every day, more and more, this world that we're living in can definitely be defined as hostile. We don't know exactly how much time passed between 1 Timothy's letter and 2 Timothy's letter that Paul wrote, but it's believed to be about 2 to 3 years. What comes to mind when you hear the words endurance, persecution, and suffering?
Paul.
Paul. Missionaries.
He did.
Missionaries. That came to my mind. People that that go into situations that there is no other option, but they're going to be persecuted and they're going to suffer for what they're doing.
Christ as well.
Yep. Do you associate these words in your life with living for Christ? Enduring, being persecuted, and suffering. Think about that. Do you associate these words with living for Christ as it pertains to you personally? Increasingly in our time, believers are exposed to situations in which Christ's name is disrespected or others make fun of our Christian values, and that is so true. They do it on TV. It can happen to you personally, in your work environment or social environment. You get around people that are not necessarily believers. You know, some people that are believers kind of end up going along that way to fit in to the hostile world that we're living in. Our lesson today emphasizes the importance of faithfully enduring persecution and suffering, no matter what form it may take. It might not be as difficult as it was for Paul and those of his day, but it could definitely be considered that we would have some sort of persecution and suffering. We are challenged to we are challenged to stay loyal to the Christ no matter what the cost. So let's look at what Paul had to say in the first chapter of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy has been called the last will and testament of Paul. At the same time, the reason it's called that is because it's right before he was martyred, and it's like he's given his, this is it, this is the last time that we're going to hear from him. And but at the same time, he still is fulfilling the calling that God gave him to encourage and minister to others, and that's what he's doing for Timothy. In this second letter, Paul is working to equip Timothy to carry on the work of the gospel after he's gone. He's trying to give him as much as he can to help him, because Paul knows that this time around it's not going to be, he's not going to be around. Timothy is providing leadership for the church at Ephesus when he gets this letter from him from 2 Timothy. So let's look at our first set of verses, and they're called Remember Your Spiritual Heritage. And it's from 2 Timothy 1, and it's verses, it's just 3 through 8, but I'm going to read 1 and 2 as well. It says, "This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I have been sent out to tell others about the life he has promised through faith in Christ Jesus." And he did that. Like what Aunt Pat's just got through saying, that's what that was his call, and that's what he did. He was sent out to tell others about the life he has promised through faith in Christ Jesus. "I am writing to Timothy, my dear son. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that that same faith continues strong in you. That is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news." That's encouraging, isn't it? It's encouraging to know that Paul thought so much of Timothy, his brother in Christ. So much so that he prayed for him night and day, continually praying for him. This gives us some insight into the intensity of Paul's prayer life. It was pretty intense, I imagine. He understood that the way he worshipped God was a continuation of the way his ancestors worshipped. Paul longed to see Timothy again. He was in prison this time. The first time, he was under house arrest, and people could come visit him, and he's under arrest, and he even had the guards believing. But this time around, they put him in a for real prison. And so a reunion with Timothy would bring lonely Paul much joy, because he didn't have the opportunity to be around anybody. Paul's memory of his ancestors caused him, of his ancestors, Paul himself, caused him to think about Timothy's and where his heritage came from. And it came from his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. Eunice and Lois had been devout Jewish women, and with a sincere faith in God. In Acts 16, Paul goes to Lystra and meets Timothy, whose mother was Jewish and father was Greek. And Timothy was highly respected by the Christians in his hometown. So, let's see. Do I have that marked? No, I don't. But it's in Acts 16 where he first meets Timothy and asks him to come and go with him on his journeys. Now, and remember, you know, his father doesn't say much about him other than he was Greek. And his mother and grandmother were Jewish, so they got to raise him. And his father, I don't think, had a whole lot to do with it. So Timothy ends up traveling with Paul during much of the missionary journeys that he took. Paul had observed Timothy and traveled with him, so he knew what kind of person he was because he'd been around him. He was convinced that Timothy's faith was the real deal, no doubt. And that's thus the letters that that he wrote to Timothy. The Christian life is an ongoing journey, don't you think? It's just constantly something, always. You know, it's not anything like the bed of roses through rose-colored glasses that non-believers think that it is. There's always something in your life that's going on. As Paul challenged Timothy to keep ablaze the gift of God he had received, he also challenges us. Because we have the same gift, and if we think back, we can think who was instrumental in our lives to bring us to the faith that we have. And I don't have to go very far, go down the hall down there, find mine. So, but everybody has that, and everybody has that person or persons that helped bring you to the faith that you have. And Paul, we have to remember that this is not just a history lesson about two men, two great men, I agree, but it's also, he's talking to us, because this is living and moving. So he's also challenging us to fan into flame how we feel about our faith and sharing it. All believers benefit from encouragement, and I 100% agree with that, don't you? Miss Sonia, when she writes me those little notes and things, and she's every time she writes Mama, she says something about how much she enjoys the class and makes her feel like she's being there, and she'll make some comment about something I said. She's very encouraging, and that's good to know outside of here that, you know, you're making a difference somewhere else for somebody that, you know, is not able to go to church anymore. When God gives gifts for ministry, they need to be carried out with the right spirit or inner motivation, which God also supplies. You know, he's not going to give you a gift and then say, okay, have at it. I'm done. I gave you the gift. Now you got to figure it out. That's not. He gives you what you need to do the gift or perform the gift or whatever it may be. Because mine's teaching, I think it is, for now. I mean, he may change it, but right now it's teaching. But I don't do it without him. He didn't give it to me and then not equip me. So, ministry springs from power or boldness supplied by God and from love, which God also supplies. Think about Paul and Timothy. They couldn't have done everything they did without God being right there with them. In place of shame, Timothy and all of us as believers should consider it an honor to share in the suffering that comes with being a believer. It's easy in this world, in certain situations, I'm sure, for people to, to kind of step back and hang back and not announce themselves and not stand up and be bold. But being bold in this world is now, I think, is the time to step forward and let everybody know that you're a believer. The most wonderful resource available to equip believers to suffer for Christ's sake is the power of God. We do it. If we're suffering, He knows about it. If we're good, He knows about it. So if we're suffering on His behalf, because we believe in Him and we've made that perfectly clear, the power of God is with us, and He will not let us go beyond anything that He knows that we can't handle. Let's look at our next verses. Remember the greatness of salvation, verses 9 and 10. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was His plan from the beginning of time, to show us His grace through Christ Jesus. And now He has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. What's the good news? Jesus. Paul describes the process of salvation, emphasizing God's initiative. He saved us and He called us. He saved us and He called us. Salvation began in the heart of God. That's where it started. So He saved us out of the goodness of His heart and the grace and the mercy and the love. Our human effort, there is nothing in salvation that's human. Any kind of human effort, anything we could do, nothing we can do can give us our salvation. We need to remember that. Our salvation was planned by God before time began. So let's look at, I'm going to read Ephesians 1, 4 through 5 related to that. It says, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. Those are good verses, aren't they? Good verses. God called, people will be different than they were before. God called people will be different than they were before. They will become Christ-like in character, growing in godliness. That's what we're supposed to do for the rest of our lives, is grow in godliness. Because it says in that verse, it says, He chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault. So that's what He wants. He wants us to be holy and without fault as much as we possibly can, even though we're human. It's just something that we have to just continually work toward, because we are nothing but saved sinners. The God whose power saved Paul and Timothy also provided the strength they needed to remain loyal to Him. This is true for us as well. When we remember the greatness of God and His salvation, we will be strengthened to remain loyal to Him. You know, all you got to do is think for a moment about the cross and what it means. We just had Easter and refreshed our minds. It's a refreshing of the spirit when you have Easter each year, I think, for believers, and what it means to us. And we remind ourselves of what He did for us. And that right there should give you the strength that you need to be loyal to Him, to just remember what He did. When we remember the greatness of God and His salvation, we will be strengthened to remain loyal to Christ. Let's look at verses 11 through 15. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. That is why I am suffering here in prison, but I am not ashamed of it, for I know the One in whom I trust, and I am sure that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until the day of His return. Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. As you know, everyone from the province of Asia has deserted me, even Phygellus and Hermogenes. I don't know who they are. They're only mentioned there, but apparently they deserted him. They didn't. I was going to see if my Bible said anything. It just says, using the examples of others, both negative and positive, Paul continues urging Timothy to be faithful and to come to Rome without fear. So I guess these are a couple of people that did some things Well, they deserted, so he's given him positive and negative, but he still wants him to come and come without fear. Paul was confident that his particular ministry was because of the grace of God. And it definitely was. Don't you agree? I mean, let's think about Paul. What did he do before he became a Christian?
He murdered
Christians. So there is nothing but in the category of what saved Paul, the grace of God.
But he thought he was doing what he was supposed to be doing.
That's right. Because he was a well-educated, devout Jew.
Yeah.
So he did. He thought he was doing what he was supposed to be doing. But the grace of God showed him different. God had other plans for him, definitely. Timothy did not need reminding that Paul had suffered and was still suffering. Timothy knew all the things that Paul had been through. He had witnessed Paul's mistreatment, and at the very moment Paul wrote this letter, he was in prison. Paul was not ashamed, but honored by his sufferings for Christ. Why was he honored by the suffering that he was going through? Why was he honored? Why did he feel honor? Because he knew Jesus. And he knew that was why he was suffering. And to me, I feel like it probably confirmed to him that he did believe, because he was doing what he was called to do. Excuse me. And if that meant suffering, then that meant suffering. Paul encouraged Timothy to be unashamed. He wanted him to express the gospel message in a way that fit his personality, but he was never to deviate from the truth about the good news or lose his focus, which was Christ Jesus. So that's why, I mean, I thought about that in myself. I'm sure, you know, me and Oliver teach the same thing every Sunday, but we teach it in two totally different ways. And so we teach to fit our personalities, but we don't deviate from the standard, which is Jesus Christ. And we don't lose our focus from the Word. If you stay in the Word and you teach the Word, then you remain focused. On the one hand, Timothy was to guard the gospel, but on the other hand, he could be sure of help. Divine help. And that was from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you the power, the strength. It encourages you when you, just remind yourself of that every once in a while, that the Holy Spirit's inside of us. To me, that's just kind of overwhelming and awesome sometimes to think about that. And the strength that it will give you and the courage it will give you to do things for the gospel and for Jesus Christ that you would never do without it. Let's look at our last two verses. May the Lord, is 16 through 18. May the Lord show special kindness to Onesiphorus, I'm not sure if that's the correct pronunciation, and all his family, because he often visited and encouraged me. He was never ashamed of me because I was in chains. When he came to Rome, he searched everywhere until he found me. May the Lord show him special kindness on the day of Christ's return. And you know very well how helpful he was in Ephesus. So here we have an example of someone that was exactly the opposite of the other two gentlemen that were mentioned that deserted him. This guy searched until he found Paul so that he could minister to him. These verses provide a snapshot of a Bible hero that we don't really know. Some had been ashamed of Christ, but Paul, and Paul, because of what Paul being in prison. You know, because think about that. Think about that in today's world. I try to, you know, fast forward and bring the situation to our world now, and how we tend to get caught up in the things of the world somebody like Paul gets put in prison for what we're told is his teaching and beliefs and so forth and so on, then in today's world, how would that get, you know, would there be people, believers, that would desert him because of the way he, like the two that did, because he was in prison? Because now you're ashamed because he's representing something that is the world is against. Or would you be like the other gentleman and like Timothy, who are going to go to him and help him and encourage him and support him? You know, you have to think. I mean, I try to think about that and think about how their world wasn't too different from ours. Ours is probably a little bit rougher, but I think that there would be people that would totally desert Paul in his hour of need, just because they would be ashamed of the fact that he got put in jail. Does anybody disagree with that? I mean, when you think about it, you have to put, sometimes if I put those situations into to our world, it, you know, their world's not that much different than ours. They were just people. They just happened to have their names put in the Bible. This guy was a believer from Asia who had often refreshed Paul. Paul was grateful and prayed for him to be strengthened in his loyalty to Christ. This guy was definitely an encourager in his own right of Paul. He gave Paul the support and encouragement that he needed, even though he was in prison. Paul reminds Timothy of this gentleman's outstanding personal service to him, to Paul. This reminder would spur Timothy and encourage him to carry on. We must all see that God's mercy is the only ground that anyone, past, present, and future, has for standing before God. That's the only way we're going to stand before God, is that His mercy is going to allow us to do that. So we're really no different than these people in the Bible. They had it different from us, I think, in the sense that they didn't have electricity and all the nice things that we have, like that, the things that make life easier. But as far as just your basic being ashamed, being faithful, being an encourager, being a deserter, that's still all here. And it's real easy to desert somebody. As somebody that goes, you know, when you think about, I don't know how anybody feels about this person, but I'm going to mention them. that Robertson guy that got put in prison for preaching, what was his name, Pat Robertson? Way, way back. Remember, he was married to Tammy Faye? Yeah.
Jim Baker.
Who's Pat Robertson?
He's a preacher.
But he's a good
preacher. Yeah, he's a preacher.
But Jim Baker's the one that was married to Tammy Faye. You know, when you think about him, everybody deserted him. But, you know, he had literally done some, he had done wrong.
But then on the other hand, look at Charles Colson, went in on a criminal act and came out with a tremendous prison ministry.
Right. Yeah. He sure
well,
did.
Jim Baker is too. He's not.
You haven't heard from Jim Baker in years.
Well, the last I heard, he was trying to. That's the last I heard.
A lot of Christians are in jail, prison today.
That's
because
right.
Because they profess Christ.
Overseas. All over the world. That's right. For that reason alone. And the little girl that got shot not too long, you know, remember, and they had that in India or some, Egypt or somewhere, and they,
Syria.
Yeah, and they, and it was because she stood up for her faith. So, you know, I don't know if it'll ever get like that here in the United States. I pray it won't.
That way very fast. Yeah.
But it's going to be, I mean, it might come a time when we can't gather like this. You know, we have to do it differently. To try to get together, but that's what. So see, Paul's situation is not so different than the situations that people encounter now. I don't think. And he needed people to be encouragers and helpers to help take care of him and give him what he needed and not desert him just because he was in prison. Because to me, those two gentlemen deserted their faith as well when they deserted Paul. So, does anybody have any questions, comments, or concerns? We'll continue on next week and look at the next one will be being strong in the Lord's work. So I'm sure it will continue on for Timothy, showing Timothy what he needs to do after he's gone. And so that we can do the same. I'm going to go, while y'all chat a minute, I'm going to go make copies of this.